I got to preach in a hurry, so y'all got to listen in a hurry this morning, okay? So we're going, if you would turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Chelsea's already gone, but I was going to give her a good lesson in public speaking. And so when you see her, you can tell her what I said. I say that you never talk smart about anyone that's going to have the microphone 30 minutes after you shut up. Okay, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to kind of hit some high spots this morning. We last a little longer in our preliminary, so I don't want to hold you too long, and I want you to be able to be with your family this afternoon. So 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Actually, 3, beginning, 4th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. The Word of God says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Are you with me? Or with Paul there? All right. Paul is starting, this is his second letter to the church at Corinth. Actually, it's the 3rd letter, but you know, he wrote the first one, they responded, now he's writing back. And he's telling them, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. It's being renewed. Listen, no matter what he said, no matter what you go through, it really is not important what happens on the outside, because your inward man, God is renewing it. He's refreshing you. He's renewing it day by day. So don't ever get to that point that you think you can't, because you can. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am renewed by the power of God. See, your inward man is being renewed day by day, every day, every day, every day. No matter what you go through, put yesterday behind you, because your inward man is being renewed day by day, every day. Now watch this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I just love this passage. This little verse here says, for our light affliction. How many of you know, I believe Paul was speaking to the modern day church. I know that he was talking to the church at Corinth, but I think he was speaking to the modern day church. They went through a lot more afflictions than we have to go through. You know, just because somebody doesn't like us, we think we got it bad. You know, just because somebody doesn't like how you said something or what you did, we feel like we have it bad. But they really had affliction. But he said, even though all of the things that we're going through, they're light afflictions, because we have something far greater working for us. Listen, you've got something far greater than the world working for you, working within you and causing you to be more than what you thought you could be. And the Word says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at those things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we just praise you and ask you to just bless this word this morning, minister to us, and we just want to give you glory. And we just praise you for the opportunity to stand before your people. We are humbly grateful, and we ask you, Father, that you would minister to them. It's not about us, it's about you, and it's about them. And we ask that you minister through us to them in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, in this particular chapter, in this letter to the church at Corinth, Paul is dealing with them having to work around negativity. He was saying, you got to remain positive. This whole chapter is about being positive. It's about speaking positive. It's about seeing those things that are not and knowing that's where you're, that's what it's all about. It's not about what you can see. It's about what you can't see. See, we're all a part of this thing to where we realize that the things we can see are here today and gone tomorrow. Like what Jesus said, Jesus is like the grass grass of the field. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. It will not be here. He said, you see these buildings? Not one brick will be left unturned. Nothing will be here. Not one brick. We got to recognize that everything around us, everything we see is temporary. It's temporal. But it's those things on the inside of us that we do not see. It's those things that we need to take a more spiritual heed to. Listen, when Paul is talking to them, he said, do not lose heart. Don't give up. Listen, if God told you something, it will come to pass. How many of you know that if you've ever got a word from God, we can call it a promise or we can call it a word, because if God ever says something, it is going to happen. You can just rest assured it's going to happen. And if you get a word from God, he will do it. He may not do it overnight, but it will come to pass. How many of you have been in a place that you really prayed for something? You believed God, you did everything you thought you should do, and still nothing happened. We've all been there.
Yes.
We've all been in that place that, and we really have prayed, and we knew what God's word said, and we trusted the Lord, and we believed that it was going to come to pass, but nothing happened. That's what I like to call the season of waiting. It's that season of waiting that you grow in God. It's that season. How many of you remember the story about Martha and Mary? Their brother Lazarus died. And remember, they sent word to Jesus and told Jesus that he was very ill. And Jesus kind of lollygagged around for about 4 days and didn't do nothing. Went to a couple of parties and had dinner with some friends and this, that, and didn't show up for 4 days. And when he got there, guess what kind of shape Lazarus was in? He was dead. He was dead. And remember what both of the sisters said the same thing. Both of them said, "Had you been here? Had you been here?
Yes.
Our brother wouldn't have died.
Amen.
Had you been here?" And Jesus took his time getting there because it was going to be best for Lazarus and for them. Listen, he said, I could just imagine the conversation. Didn't you get the word? We sent word and told you he was sick. And Jesus said, yeah, but he wasn't sick enough. I want him dead. Listen, how many of you know you got to die to the flesh? There's a great lesson in this. We gotta recognize. We gotta die to the flesh. If we want the Spirit to rule in our lives, we're gonna have to die to the flesh. We're gonna have to let the flesh go, because that is where all of your temptation comes.
Amen.
It's to the flesh. Amen. It's the flesh is the thing that's going to get you in trouble. It's not your spirit. It's your flesh. Yes. It's your flesh when you begin to give in to these things. And he says he's just not sick enough. I'm gonna let him get so sick that he gets rid of the flesh, and then I'm going to call him for. I love this. And remember the story when Jesus got there, he says, where have you laid him? You know, they believed so much. They trusted God. They believed in Jesus so much. But guess what they did? The whole time they were praying for Lazarus, they were hauling him to the graveyard. They trusted the Lord, but let's go ahead and get him ready to get him buried. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how we say we trust God, but we don't trust him enough to turn every bit of it over to him? Listen, we're going to have to learn how to release those things and let everything go into God's care. You want to have peace and want to stay positive in times of pressure, you're going to have to learn how to give everything to God. You're just going to have to let it go. You're going to have to stop trying to hold on to those things that you think you can take care of. You're going to have to give it all to him. Give every bit to him, and God will take care of it. And that pressure will leave you, and you'll see that God is greater than you ever thought that he was, because he can do far greater things for you than you ever thought that he could. We got to be able to turn those things over to him in that season of waiting, when things are not happening and we don't know why, we don't understand it. We got to get to where we can hold on to the faith that we have, that measure of faith that God's given to us, and not focus on the obstacles that we're having having to face, and know that God's going to take care of it. We got to realize if God made us a promise, or if he told us, if we got a word from him, it will come to pass. Now, when you're in that season of waiting, You're gonna have to do what Paul had instructed Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, you're going to have to fight that good fight of faith. You're going to have to fight that good fight of faith. Now, when we're talking about fighting a fight of faith, we don't fight the fight of faith because we're courageous or that we're great warriors. But we fight that fight of faith because we recognize that our affliction is but for a moment. We recognize that our affliction is not going to last forever. Whatever you're going through, it's not going to last forever. You got to get a hold of this thing. If you don't hear nothing else I say today, is I don't care what you go through, it's not going to last forever. You know, that's the most powerful, confirming prayer that you can ever pray. You can say, Lord, I know that this thing is not going to last forever. And I just believe that. I believe that. It's just like Chelsea had mentioned about the lady praying. She said, walk again. Legs, walk again. You know. You've got to understand that you've got to believe that this thing is not going to be forever. You've got to be able to let it go. All good things come from God. If it's good, I'll take it forever. But if it's not good, I'm going to send it on down the road because that's not for me. God has intended for all good things to come to me. And I believe that you and I are a part of the promise that God made to Abraham. And if we're a part of that promise, then it will come to pass regardless of what we think. Our affliction is but for a moment. Those things that we're going through, they're temporary. Yes. They're temporary. You know, I remember I went to my doctor, who's a good friend of mine, and we were talking. I was explaining the pain that I was having, and he said, and it was bad. He said, "Well, don't worry, it's not going to last forever." I said, "No, I can't take this forever. I can promise you this is not going to last forever. I get another doctor, you know." you can't live like this. But what I'm saying is, once we recognize the fact that these things that we go through are not eternal, they're only temporary, and it's for a moment, and it will pass. You know, how many of you ever stopped to think about what temporary means? Temporary simply means subject to change. Everything temporary is subject to change. Listen, everything around you that is temporary is subject to change. Now, watch this. How many of you know God's not subject to change? He's eternal. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." God's not temporary. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is from, and David said that he was the God of the whole earth. From everlasting to everlasting. He's God Almighty. The weeping prophet Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 10:10 and said that he was the living God and he was the everlasting King. How many of you know that we just don't serve a temporary God? We serve a permanent God. He is the creator of all the temporary things that you see. He is in control of the temporal world. He is the one that measured out the sea in the palm, the seas in the palm of his hand, and told it when the ebb and flow. And he's the one that separated day from night. And he's the one that separated good from evil. And thank God he's the one that separated me from hell. And no matter what I go through, I still got to give him the glory because this is only temporary. It's not going to last forever. It's a small affliction and it cannot last forever. He's the one that deserves all the glory. He is not temporary. He is not subject to change. What he told me yesterday is still good today. And no matter what I'm going through today, tomorrow is a new day. And the God that I serve is going to make sure that it's only temporary. It's those eternal things, those inward things that we need to bless the Lord with. If we serve a permanent God, then he will not give us temporary promises. How many of you know God doesn't change his mind like you do? I love what the Bible says about people. So people are fickle. How many of you know fickle people? Almost everybody I know is fickle. Almost, except all of y'all. People change their mind. God doesn't. God doesn't. You know, people, you know why a lot of people change their mind? To play on your emotions. They play on your... God doesn't operate that way. So if we serve a permanent God, he's not going to give us temporary promises. He's the God of permanent promises. Hebrews 6:3 says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, because he could find none greater than he." Amen. Listen, when he began to make a promise and he said, "I'm putting my stamp on it and I'm gonna swear on this," he said, "This is in my name, because there's no greater name. No matter what other name I use, it's below me. I'm the only name that's that great." Because he could swear by none greater. If God promised you something, it will come to pass. The only way that it won't happen and you don't receive it is if you're willing to accept something less. Wow, I have found in life that I've given in to what I thought was good, and come to find out, I accepted less than what God had for me. Amen. I accepted less. That's the reason I got less, because I accepted it. It wasn't because more wasn't there. It wasn't because that's what God wanted me to have. It was because I was willing to accept it. I just believe that you and I need to recognize the fact that if God promised you something, it'll come to pass. And listen, we have got to be able to sit back and recognize that if God promised it, it's going to happen. And regardless of how ridiculous or how big it seems, God can do it. God can do it if you will listen to him. Yeah. You know, so many times during life, and I found this many times in my life, and that is that what I need is a good, what we used to call a good old-fashioned deliverance. I used to give my sons deliverance. You know, I would look and I would just stand amazed. And I would say, "Charlie, you just can't wait to get a spanking, can you? I'm going to deliver you from that desire. I'll just go ahead and spank you and get it over with." But I found that in life, that sometimes I need a deliverance. And I recognize through many years of study that there's three kinds of deliverances that God deals with in our lives. He delivers us from, through, and out. He delivers us from things. Now, when God delivers you from something, that means he gets you out of it before it ever happens. You don't have to go through it at all. And if he delivers you through it, that means that he's going to let you walk through it. But when it's all over with, you're going to be strengthened from the process of you hanging in there and letting go. So he delivers us from it, and he delivers us through it, and then he delivers us out of it. And now when God brings us out of it, he just takes you out in the middle of it. He delivers you right in the middle of your conflict. He delivers you right in the middle of your hurt. He delivers you right in the middle of your unforgiveness, right in the middle of the obstacle that you're having to face, the things that you're going to. He will pick you up and take you out of it. He delivers you out of it. And I learned through this experience that there's a process that takes place, and you got to respect the process. And the process has to come from you. Can come from no one else. You can hear it preached. preached, you can hear it taught, you can hear people sing about it. But the process that it takes for God to minister you has to come out of you. You've got to believe it, whether anybody else believes it or not. You've got to believe it, whether anybody else thinks it could happen or not. You've got to believe it. You've got to be able to see those things that are not, those things that you can't see. That's the thing that's going to give you the victory. He delivers us out of those things sometimes. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that those things that are seen are temporary. So if what you see in your life is not what you're promised, then it's only temporary. In other words, what I'd like for you to see this morning, what I would like for you to get a hold of is if things are going on in your life, And they're not what a part of your promise from God. How many of you know when you accepted Jesus Christ, you accepted all the promises? Amen. Come on. You say, well, I don't know that I've ever had any. Yes, you've got promises. Hey, look, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you've just got a boatload of promises. You just don't realize it. How many of you know the Bible says, God said, tell me what I said and see if I won't do it. Tell me what I said and see if I won't do it. Listen, if God tells you something, he's going to do it. But you've got to also realize that you got to know what your promises are. You got to know what he said. You got to get in the word and stay in the word long enough that you know what you are promised. So when you accept Jesus Christ, you have a few things that you never had before. You have promises you never had before. When you accept Jesus Christ, you know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his. All right? What's it? All things work together for the good. Everything works together. It doesn't matter what it is. It works. To them that are called, how many of you know that he called you? He chose you. You didn't choose him. You got a promise from me. Everything's going to work good. Hey, God, I need to remind you of something this morning. We hadn't talked about this very much, but you said that all things going to work together for the good.
Yes.
And if you said it, I believe it. And if I believe it, it's got to happen.
Right.
Listen, all things work together for the good. It's good. And so we realize that these things that we are going through is a light affliction and it's temporary.
Yes.
It's just not going to last forever and it's going to turn out good on your behalf. You know why? Because you have a promise. I'll say it even stronger than that. You are a promise.
Yes.
You don't just have a promise. You are the promise. God made you a part of it. You're no longer an outsider. You're no longer a Gentile. You're no longer looking on the from the outside looking in. You are a part of the promise. Listen, we got to remember, what does temporary mean? Subject to change. If it's not a part of my promise, then it's got to change. If something is going on in my life and it's not a part of my promise from God, then it must change. And if I can't change it, then God's going to change it. How many of you know some things you can't change? How many of you know you can't change people? How many of you know people can't change you? As hard as they try, they can't change you. And as hard as you try to change somebody else, you can't change them. Only God can do that. God is the changer of people, and he's the only one that can change. Can a leper change his spots? No, he cannot. Only God can do that. Listen, I found this out about temporary things. Temporary things play off of your emotions. Temporary things begin to play off your emotion. This is the reason that you don't make permanent decisions based on your temporary circumstances. In other words, if you're in a circumstance right now and you're having a hard time, you don't need to be making any permanent decisions. Somebody say amen to that. How many of you ever made permanent decisions in temporary circumstance? You made the wrong decision, didn't you? Absolutely. And this is the way it is. You never make permanent decisions when you're living in a temporary circumstance. And if you have something going on in your life, then let me assure you that it's temporary. And God didn't put it there. You've allowed it to come in. Let something or someone play on your emotions, and you've got yourself in a position that you're living where they want you to live rather than where God wants you to live. So If you'll notice that when you are making these decisions and you're in these circumstances, temporary circumstances in your life, that you are looking more at the obstacles in your life than you are about what God is doing. How many of you know that the enemy puts obstacles in your life just to divert your attention? Yes. He wants you to be obligated to look at circumstances and obstacles and situations. So that's when we don't need to make permanent decisions, because it's subject to change. These things will change all the time. They won't stay the same. God speaks to your spirit. Listen, I've said this many times, and I got to make sure I say it right too, because I don't want to offend anyone, but God is just not an emotional God. And you can't play on God's emotion, because he's not an emotional God. Oh, I do believe this. I believe that he has seen every tear that has dropped out of your eye. But tears is not what moves God. I mean, cry all you want, it's not going to move God. If you want to move God, go to his word. His word moves him. He said, tell me what I said. Tell me. I want to know what I said. If you tell me what I said, that'll move me.
Amen.
That'll move me. We got to recognize here that when God is doing something, he doesn't do it emotionally. I just love when you read the history of the Hebrews, the history of Israel, you see that God's not an emotional God at all. I mean, sometimes you'll think he's cold. I mean, look at Moses. Moses is talking to God, and he's telling God about what the people of Israel had done with that little calf, that golden calf. You know the little thing there that Aaron had this little deal about,
yeah.
And they built this calf, and Moses is upset. He throws the tablets down. And he runs back up the mountain. He said, God, these people are crazy. And he tells him, he said, can you believe what these people have done? I'm not even down yet. And they're doing what they're not supposed to do. They're building this image of you. And Moses is saying, they must be punished. They must be punished. Read your book. He said, they must be punished. God said, yeah, let's kill them all. That's what God said. He said, they should, yeah, let's kill them all.
Yeah.
That's not emotional now. We got to recognize that God doesn't play on our emotions, and we can't play on his emotions. But one thing we can do, we can depend on his word. We can trust his word. We can know that his word is sure. His word is steadfast. It'll always be the same. It won't change from day to day. It doesn't matter if he's in different company today. He's not going to talk differently than he did yesterday. No matter who he's talking to or where he's talking to them or what he's talking about, God's word is sure and it's steadfast. He's not fickle like you and I. How many of you know it's real easy to preach about Jesus when you're standing in front of a room full of believers?
Yes. Yes.
But you get in the world, your speech changes. Are you with me? God doesn't. He's not emotionally unstable like we are. He doesn't depend on emotions, and he doesn't speak to emotion. He speaks to us spiritually. How many of you know the Bible tells us that God is a spirit? And them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now listen, worshiping him in spirit is not worshiping him emotionally. It's worshiping him in truth. And don't get me wrong, folks, I see nothing wrong in just making a fool out of yourself for Jesus Christ. Look at David. David did. Yeah. David did. And you know what God declared about David? Here's a man after my own heart. Here's a guy that loves me so much, he doesn't care what other people think about how much he loves me. It's like John and Jesus. John didn't have a problem laying his head down on Jesus' chest because he loved him and he didn't care who knew it. He was not a homosexual. He was not being perverted. He was showing his love and he was worshiping him. Are you with me? And these people just didn't really matter. David didn't care. And listen, there's nothing wrong. That's not emotional. That's truth. That's the spirit of truth. Listen, I just got to tell you, I know you probably don't believe this, but it'd be hard for you to believe, but I can dance. I know that video that Chris has of me doesn't prove it. But listen, I love to get before the Lord and just love him. Yes. Right by myself, just get in there and put on a praise tape and go to loving him. And I like just the music where I can make up the words. You know what I mean? You don't have to try to think of the words. You just make them up. And you just... And I know it sounds crazy, but I love him. And I want him to know. I don't have to prove it to you. I don't have to prove it around people. But when it's just me and God, when there's nobody there but he and I, and I can just let my hair down, kind of speak, and really get loose and start worshiping. And the next thing you know, that gets a little... And you know what I mean? You can't hardly stand it, and you get to loving God, and then you feel him loving you back. And the more you stroke him, the more he strokes you. And the next thing you know, you don't care who is there. You're going to love God, and you're going to let him know it. And it really doesn't matter what people think. I do. I believe we need to show our love for God. And it's okay to be foolish for the Lord sometimes. It's fine for us to do that. But can I tell you this? He doesn't play with your emotions. He's real. He's God of the whole earth. Listen, it's so hard for us to even in our finite minds recognize that God is so big that he controls everything. Let me say that again. God's so big. He controls everything. I love the beach. Susan and I go to the beach a lot. We love the beach. And you know what just fascinates me about the beach? Those waves. I just love to hear them. Crash. Crash. Not two are ever the same. Some break early. Some break late. Some run up on the sand. Others do not. And I thought, I've said this, I've even said this to Susan. God knows that before it ever happened. God knows it. God knows it, that what that wave's, he's in control of that wave. Listen, he measured out that gulf out there. He measured it out, threw it, told it to stay there. Made a pull of gravity where it wouldn't be all over the place. Come on. And then he said, you're going to ebb and flow twice in 24 hours. And every wave that crashes on that shore, I see it before it happened.
Yes.
You know why? Because I was there before it went on against the shore. And guess what? I'll be there afterwards. He's everlasting to everlasting. He's God. And to try to understand, you can't understand a God that big. But you can accept him. You can trust him and you can accept him. You know that he is. Listen, the word of God works in them that believe. How many of you know that you will act out what you believe? Now, I'm preaching to you now. You will act out what you believe. You will begin to act it out. I read one time that behavior follows belief. Yeah. Behavior follows belief. Whatever you believe is what you'll prepare for. Whatever you believe is what you'll prepare for. And what you prepare for is what you'll be able to accept. Yeah. And what you accept is what you'll get. That's cool. We got to recognize here that we got to prepare for greater things. Listen, we can't prepare ourselves every day for mediocre things. We got to prepare for great things. I don't know about you. I don't want to live a mediocre life. I want to have when I leave this world, I want to be able to look back before I leave and say, you know what? I've had a good life. It was a great life. It was not mediocre. And that's the thing that I love about David. If you read David and study David, David was not the fellow that's going to sit around one day and wring his hands and said, I wish I'd have tried that.
Right. Yes.
You know, I wish I would have, I wish that I'd have fought that giant. You know, we got to recognize now that we are in David's position. We don't want to be able to don't want to sit back and just wring our hands and say, I wish. We've got great things to prepare for. God has made us great promises as children, as His children. God has promised us things that we can't even see, we can't even imagine. That the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, nor can the mind comprehend those things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Listen, church, we got great things ahead of us, and we got to prepare for them. And if you will prepare for them, you'll be able to accept them. And if you will be able to accept them, it will happen. Last point. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Say in us.
In us.
In us. Works in us. In us. If you don't have something going on in you, nothing will go on around you. You got to have something going on in you. Everything that you do starts with a thought. It's got to happen in you. And once it happens in you, your mind's eye can begin to see it out of you. And things will begin to start happening around you. And when those things start happening around you, it's when you've got to move on them. I love this. The window of opportunity last only as long as the window is open.
Amen.
The window of opportunity lasts only as long as the window is open. And when that window closes, opportunity closes with it. What's this, church? 1 Corinthians 13:20, which the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians we call the love chapter of the Bible. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly. In other words, like we're looking in a mirror, like a reflection. Your life will reflect on the outside what you are on the inside. If you think small on the inside, everything around you will be small. If you think big, everything around you will be big. We gotta reckon your life will reflect on the outside what you are on the inside. See, if we could ever allow God to change the inside of us, then the outside will have to line up with it. I believe we're living under what God wants us to have. I believe we're living below His promises. I believe the whole church has accepted less. I believe that the whole world has accepted that. But I also believe that God is the God of the whole world, the whole earth. I believe that we can get ourselves right, then the things around us will have to line up. Look, you say, well, I don't know that I can do that. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said it. He said, listen, if someone does you wrong and you're having a hard, difficult time forgiving them, you can do that. Just say, I forgive you by faith. I forgive you by faith. That's okay, church. You can do those things by faith. It's okay. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Faith does not keep you out of trouble. Faith keeps you while you're in trouble. Every time you have a problem or a difficult situation, it's an opportunity for you to mature in Christ. It's an opportunity for you to grow. As a matter of fact, your problem is the beginning of your maturity. Would you stand up with me all over the building? Your problem is the beginning of your maturity. See, maturity is growing up.
Yes.
And growing up always brings pressure.
Amen.
If you're growing, you're under pressure.
Yes.
Growing up always brings pressure in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And maturity is a part of growing up. It brings pressure. And you can take all the pressure. Believe it or not, you can take more than what you think you can. You can stand a lot more pressure than what you think. One of the things that's amazing to me is, have you ever thought that charcoal and diamonds are made out of the same stuff? The only difference is one of them been under pressure a lot longer. Same stuff. One of it you use to cook with, you burn it up, and the other make lifelong promises with. So you understand that they're the same stuff. It's just remained under pressure a lot longer. Listen, you may have to stay under pressure longer than you wanted to.
Yeah.
But when you come out of it, you're going to be a lot more valuable.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. You may have to stay under pressure longer than you want to. But when you come out of it, you're going to be a lot more valuable to God. You know, I was preparing this message and had so much going on in the service today, and I didn't want us to lose what God had wanted us to hear. And I believe that what God wants us to hear this morning is that if you're under pressure, it's going to be okay. I'd like for you to just bow your heads with me for just a moment. And if you would say to me, Pastor, I've been under a lot of pressure. I'm under pressure. And I just need prayer. I'm not going to call you out or anything of that nature. But if you'd like to just lift your hand to the Lord and put it right back down. Just, Lord, I've been under a lot of pressure. And I need for you to touch me. I need you to relieve me of the pressure. Father, you saw all these hands go up. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one I love and the one that I preach about and the one that I know is real. And it's in His name that I come to you. And Father, I don't know the pressure. I don't know what's causing the pressure. But I know that you do, because you're the God of the whole earth. And I ask you, Father, to minister to each hand that was raised up. Touch them in Jesus' name right now, Father. You know them, and you know their circumstance, and you know their situation. And Father, you know where the pressure's coming from. And Lord God, we just bind that in the name of Jesus Christ, and we cry out and believe for deliverance. Either deliver us from, deliver us out, or deliver us through it. Whatever you want to do, Father, we're willing to accept that. And I ask you in Jesus' name right now, Father, that you minister to every person. And every person that raised your hand, I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, for taking the pressure off of me. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the pressure off of me. It's no longer on me. I give it to you. And I release it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We have our prayer partners up here. If you would, you need prayer, would you please come up and get prayer? We thank you for being here. And be sure and minister to each other a little bit before you leave. But we just want to thank you for being. If you like prayer, we got plenty of time. We want to pray with you. So please come in Jesus' name.